Hi there. This is Melanie Thomas and Ellen Doreen, and you are listening to the Mel and Ellen Show. Ellen, you're ready to go today?
You betcha.
We changed the name of our program. We started out Insights. This is only our third show. We decided to do this together, and it's turning out to be a wonderful idea and lot of fun, great opportunity to contact with people out in the audience. And so, Mel and Ellen, how did you came up with that? Mark, I think Ellen's husband came up with that name, didn't he?
Mark came up with that, and we had a good laugh. And then while we were mulling that one over, I got Mel and Ellen. We have you psychic.
Well, that's right.
East to West on BBS.
And we are East to West on BBS today. And the topic for the show today is ethics. If you had a chance to check out our little blurb there on the at the station, ethics is a really challenging, I think a very challenging issue in our field. Would you not agree?
Absolutely. And I'm sitting here laughing because I was telling everybody it was Mercury's retrograde.
Oh, hey.
That's right. Which it is. So there you go.
Well, there you go. Isn't that a perfect example of Mercury retrograde?
Absolutely. But I saw when I checked that we were talking about ethics, and I think we really did start that last time. And it is such a huge issue, especially in this day and age of so many scam artists out there, and our own ethical standard that we stand by. So, yeah, I think it's a big, good subject to be talking about. And I hope people will call in and ask us questions and talk to us about it, because it is important to them, too.
It is hugely important. It's important to you out there as a client, a potential client, to really have some confidence in the person that you're contacting for this kind of consultation, advice, reading, regardless of what medium they use. And sadly, you know, there's scam artists. I kind of like that phrase. There's scam artists in all fields. You know, there are unethical people in any career field that you can think of. I do feel at some level that there seem to be quite a few of them in our field, and partly, I believe, because it is not really regulated. I think regulating this kind of work would be really hard, number one.
Impossible.
You said impossible. Why do you think that it's impossible?
Because everybody has a grain of truth to what they're doing. So if you're not a psychic, you could be a very, very good tarot reader or a very, very good palmist. And so a standard that would be set for a psychic reading might not fit with a tarot reading, but the person is just as good. It's just a different modality. So I think that would be really difficult to obtain some sort of measure of standard. Although, and I will say that as I say that, I am a certified professional psychic. I went through a certification program. I was judged or ruled or whatever by people of my own group who had me do readings for them and, you know, kind of gathered the correctness of it. And so I have been certified. So I guess there is some measure, but I think in the overall picture of life, that would be a huge, huge thing to try to do.
I agree. You know, in part, you can't regulate spirit. That's one of the things that's kind of
true
at the top of the pie, you know?
Yeah.
But as readers and as potential clients or clients of readers, you know, there are some responsibilities that we all have on both sides of the fence. Someone who's looking for a reading, I think, should do their homework a little bit. And there's some key things to look for. We're going to talk about those. For me, there are some key points. Confidentiality, I think it's almost at the top of the pile. when you go to a reader, you should expect absolute confidentiality regarding whatever you're choosing to consult them about. And the person who's doing the reading should be really clear with the client that what's going on is confidential. One of the things that I will say to my client is that, your confidentiality is assured. I cannot share anything from the reading without your permission. However, you're welcome to share whatever you want. The second one is responsibility to your gift. Readers have a responsibility to their gift and to their clients. They also have responsibility to themselves, and that is to honor their gift. What kind of guidelines, Ellen, do you kind of follow when you're in this a situation with a new client, for example?
Well, I always take, as you do, the few minutes to sit down and explain that it is a confidential reading. It doesn't go past the two of us. I mean, they can do what they want with it.
Right.
That doesn't mean, and I do want to interject that sometimes if you're trying to give an example to somebody, you could say, I have done a reading once where so-and-so happened, and not use the person's name or their location. I mean, who's going to, you can't. But
yeah.
For me to sit down and say to, I did a reading for so-and-so at such and such a time here and blah, 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 that's absolutely and totally out of the question. You can't do that. I also, I think what you said of honoring this spirit, it is a mandate, is how I put it, that I deliver the message that I'm given. And I can't dance around it. I can't change it. I can't. I once was with a client and I blurted something out and the person just sat there blinking at me. And I went, I cannot believe that came out of my mouth that way. I mean, I was so stunned, but it was exactly as I heard the message. And the person looked at me and said, well, I understand that completely. And I almost fell over. But It is. You have to stay true to that because that's the gift you've been given. And, making sure the person's comfortable. I want to go to the other side real quick. I know we're going to explore it. But one of the things that I would always say to a person who's coming to a reader, have your questions ready and don't blur them out. Let the reader go with it first. But I want the person that's having the reading to clearly understand the reader is giving you information. They are not creating your future.
That's good.
It Excellent. Is so important because people come with the expectation that you're going to tell them exactly what to do or create their future for them. And this has nothing to do with that. This is guidance from spirit to help them make wise decisions.
Right. That's a point really, really, really well taken. I always tell my clients, I know they get sick of it, but it's true. The future's fluid. It's not set in stone.
No.
You can feel an energy in the moment and project it into the future, but it's not set in stone. Yeah, it is amazing how we can, you made me giggle because right away I thought about sometimes you get that information and I don't know about you, but every once in a while my logical mind chimes in and goes, what? No way. and then I have to go, okay, well that's, I have to set that aside because like you said, you have that responsibility to your gift, to honor that gift, to be in harmony with that. And what comes through unless you get some message otherwise is something that needs to be said.
Right.
And I always find when I do that, when that happens, then subsequently whatever comes out, the client 99% of the time knows exactly what I'm talking about, just because I don't, and it seems like left fieldish,
Right. No, it's very true. You just kind of sit and look at somebody and go, I can't believe I really said that, And it's like, and the other part of that is a lot of times the information comes in a metaphor, it comes in a picture, or it becomes. And a lot of times I'll say something to somebody and they'll look at me kind of squinty-eyed and I'll go, so you're not understanding. And I'll say it again. And if I have to do it a third time, I'll say, look, I'll tell you what, let me just tell you the picture I see and let you come to your own conclusion. And that usually works really well because what I'm seeing, they understand completely, but I don't have the language that, you know, that it was like that John Edwards thing where he kept saying that somebody was killed in a cab, and the man just insisted, no, that's not true. And then finally somebody said, oh, it was a truck cab. And right. John Edward had never heard that. He had never heard the front of a truck to be being called a cab. So when he finally told the man the picture he saw, then the guy goes, oh, yeah, that's right. That's exactly what happened. So it's when we don't have the language, then we can give them the picture and let them, you know, get their own piece of that. So
I think that's a whole topic is the interpretation and you know, the use of analogy, metaphor, because largely intuitive information is symbolic. And so translating it is into what is understandable, usable, is not such an easy deal.
No.
Not such an easy thing to do.
Yeah. No, it isn't. It's a real interesting thing.
This is Ellen Doreen, and her business is Illuminations. This is I'm Melanie Thomas. My business is Insights, and this is the Mel and Ellen Show. We're so excited to be doing the Mel and Ellen Show. I got to tell you, when I say it, it makes me smile and it makes me happy. We want to do a section here in the show, and I'm going to put it out there right now. We invite you to call in, ask your questions that are personal if you wish. We're certainly ready, willing, and able to answer them, but also questions related to the show. How do you as a prospective client, how do you as someone who wants an intuitive or psychic consultation, discern or decide how or whom to choose? You can call in live at 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. We're live, we're internet streaming. You can go to BBS Radio Station 1 and the call letters are there for you. So, as we move along, what would you consider some basic guidelines? How would you guide, direct a client, a potential client? What would you tell them to look for?
Okay. gosh, well, there's so many things. First of all, you want someone who is clear and bright. And people who come and see psychics have their own intuitive sense. I've always say that to people, that they are intuitive. They have their own sixth sense. And you know whether you're making a connection with somebody, whether it feels comfortable. If you sit with somebody for a few minutes and you have no idea what they're talking about and you can make no connection, then you need to stop the reading. And go back and say, I'm not understanding what you're talking, I don't think we have a good connection. Try it again. If that doesn't work, then you need to find another reader. And I think I would tell a client that too. Anywhere during a reading, if you start feeling uncomfortable, if you don't like the information or the way it's being delivered, get up and leave. Pay for what you've gotten, if you think that you should. And say, I think I'll thank you very much for your input. And I think I'll either find it, you don't have to be rude, just go away.
Right.
It's your right. And I think that so much in our line of work is based so much on fear. I get that a lot, that people have come because they're afraid or someone had told them something horrible. And that's as you well know, Mel, that's such a concern, where there are readers out there who give information that's very fearful to get more money. You certainly understand how that works.
Yeah, well, that's the unethical. That's the part of that gives me a bad name. I mean, that's one of the things that I struggle with is in a culture that does not honor and at a lot of levels scoffs and makes fun of what we do. You and I have both been the brunt of that.
Yes.
it is even more challenging to be in that place when there are people out there who, you know, my favorite is Ms. Cleo, you know, who isn't around anymore. And I think that station, they got fined something like $6 million. I mean, that's where the ethics really hit the ethics and the FCC met.
Yes.
And it turned out she was from Los Angeles. And your free reading, you know, I had a couple clients who called and or people who had called there and then became clients after their experience. But one of them said, you know, the free reading wasn't free, but she said, I'm a pretty smart gal. I knew that was going to be true. So, you know, that it had to be a big, big thing like that for some agency to get involved and put a stop to it. But it happens little pieces all over the place all the time.
Right. And you know, I laugh when you say that because Miss Cleo was, what, 10 years ago? I was talking to young people. When I say young people, for me, anything younger than I am, but in their early 20s. And when I said what I did, they looked at me and said, oh, if you were Miss Cleo, I'd smack you right in the mouth.
Wow.
These kids are 20 and they know that story. And I mean, it was not a personal, the person wasn't being affrontive to me, but what that reader did was so corrupt and so awful that even a decade behind, these young people know who she was and what she did and are aware of the fact that those kind of scam artists are still out there. So I was stunned. My mouth fell open. I mean, how do you know about Miss Cleo? Oh, everybody knows about Miss Cleo.
Wow.
So
well, she was really a front man in a sense, you know, for an organization that employed a lot of readers. You know, rarely did you get a reading with Miss Cleo. You got a reading with someone else that was part of that network. But that's just a really good example of the whole of the unethical behavior that runs rampant. We see it in, you know, we see it in big corporations nowadays, engaging in a lot of unethical behavior, but they don't seem to take it on the chin like we do.
And that's because of the fear.
Yeah.
You know, and right. We go point. Back to that. And I was going to say the other part of that is that not only is the fear there, but the money, you know, it's attached to the money that the reader is making or could possibly make by frightening you into purchasing more of their services. And I think that's what I resent. And I think saying that too, when I realized how much damage Miss Cleo did for so long, and it is so hard for really good, legitimate readers to be taken seriously. And I do understand there is a lighthearted entertainment aspect of this work. You go with it, you know. But for the most part, our work is serious work and is really, truly to try to help people find a better way to live here on the face of the earth and make good decisions for themselves. That kind of negative representation is so hard to overcome, you know.
Right. Yeah. I call myself a psychic guide. You know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. What did I hear? It was a PI, a psychic intuitive. You know, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So.
Some of you out there who are listening must have some questions. So give us a call. Join in the debate, the conversation, the exchange, if you will. 888-627-6008. Call in. And Ellen and I we have over, I don't know, 60 years experience between us, maybe a little more. I could add 10 years to that pretty easily, I think, at this point. Both been not always doing the work actively, and that's something else that I think there are people who are very gifted readers I know it's been my experience, and I've read of the experiences of others. When you have a really strong intuition, and you know, and I mean, I spent a lot of time running away. Actually, I would say doing a dance. I mean, I would dance into it, and then I would go, "Oh no!" And then I'd run away, and then I'd dance back into it, and then I'd run away. I mean, it's always operating. It was just my, you know, what I wanted to do with it or not do with it would be maybe better put. And then, you know, reached a point in my life, which anybody, you can go to my website. Actually, you can go to the profile on BBS and read that story, how I ended up not being able to run away anymore. But I think a lot of people, because of the stigma, who are really gifted, and because of, you know, when you deal with somebody's fear or their grief or their loss, it's not always people who clientele who call up and want to know simple things. I mean, some of the things we deal with can be just really very challenging. You have to set your logical mind aside and allow the spirit to speak.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm laughing that you say that, because I was just writing a little bit this morning about how just along those lines, that when I started to grow up, and I was sort of overwhelmed by the gift, and had really, as I explained, there were no teachers, there were no books there, right, when we were coming up. And so I had to kind of put a lid on my gift, or kind of put it in a box somewhere, because it was overwhelming me. And I said the same thing. It doesn't go away. It doesn't stop. And I didn't realize until I was much older and look back that I had used it all my life. I just used it differently. There's not a day that doesn't go by that I'm not connected. But I didn't let it overwhelm me. And I think that was a good lesson, because then I was able to move forward again with a little bit more control over what was happening. And that was a big step forward. So
I think it's a big step forward for many people. You know, it's like,
you said, you get to that time that the door is just kind of kicked open, and this is where you stand.
Yeah.
And having learned to kind of control it a bit and help yourself through it, that makes a big difference.
I love what you said, because it's really, really true. There are a lot of books now on developing your intuition, all kinds of books around the psychic world, psychic phenomena, psychic work in myriad forms, and it's myriad forms. But it's really recent. I mean, it is,
yes,
really recent. And even then, I mean, I would love to be able to say to one of my clients who's got really strong intuition and knows it and is struggling with it and would like to know more about it, I'd like to say, here is the book, read it. But it doesn't exist, you know. It's like, and the other thing that one of those clients pointed out to me recently is that, but could the book really exist, because everybody is uniquely different. I mean, it's not like reading a law book.
No, that's exactly. I was just sitting here thinking that, because everybody's approach and everybody's modality is so different. I mean, some psychics use a crystal ball. Some psychics use tarot. Some do tea leaf reading. Some don't use anything at all. So how do you teach somebody?
Yeah, exactly.
If they're, you know, and I think that at some given point, we all use all of it, you know. I mean, one leads to the other, leads to the other, leads to the other. And somewhere in your teaching, you'll use all of it as a way of showing someone how to open their heart, their mind, their soul, whatever, to accept the information. So,
yeah,
it'd be hard.
Yeah, to trust it. You know, and to stay within those, I mean, I don't have a problem, I don't think, staying in the ethical guidelines. I do know that I'm much more fine-tuned, shall we say, at this point than I was 10, 12, 15 years ago. as I, when I, 18, I guess, when I started actually doing this as a way of making a living, the nonchalant third party conversations, you know, it's like, I have had experience to overhear or to have a client talk about somebody that I had read for, that I know their life pretty well. And, you know, it's human nature. It's almost, you have to really check that impulse to say, oh yeah, I heard about that. Or, yeah. Oh, isn't that a sad story? You know, you're not supposed to know that. So, I think those things, and like you, you know, the, I have clients who wouldn't want the public to know that they consult me because of that stigma.
Exactly. I have that too. I have a lot of that, you know, people, they don't want people to know. To that end, I was thinking about that when I, cause I'm in a small community here. And if I go to the grocery store and I recognize somebody who is a client, I won't say hello just in case, you know, I don't go, if they acknowledge me, then I'll go and acknowledge them back and say, how are you doing? But I will never go up to somebody who's just been a client and say, oh, hi, how are you doing? Because if they're with somebody, they're going to have to explain who I am.
Oh, wow. That's...
And so I just make it a habit, you know, and I guess, you know, I never tell that to anybody, but, you know, I'm not being rude. I'm just making sure that there's no crossing any boundaries there. Now, like I said, if they come over and go, in fact, I had that happen. I went around the corner at the Publix shopping center down here. As I did, this lady looked up and she goes, oh my God, it's the psychic lady. And I went, okay, maybe I should go put my makeup on or something. You know, it's like, oh God. But anyway, so.
I had that happen. I had a woman ask me how do you know so-and-so? And I'm going like, you know, well, in my head, I'm going, well, she's a client of mine. But I jumped right to, I met her through a third party. That was because she came to me recommended by someone else. So I was able to say, oh, you know, met her through a third party because I, you know, I'm not going there.
Yeah. No, it's real. And those are the things. And you know, I don't know if everybody is quite that precise or that guarded. But, you know, when you live and work in a small community, and I know you do too, you know, I know we're actually international and that's all right too, but you have the community that you live in that you have to be in. You have to pay attention to things like that. You have to stay conscious of the client's feelings. So.
I'm not likely to, although stranger things have happened, internationally. I mean, I'm not likely to run into, you know, someone who knows a client in Nicaragua or
right.
Hungary or England or whatever. That's very unlikely, but stranger things have happened. I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
Could be downtown and be introduced to somebody who's a friend of somebody who goes, oh yeah.
I know. Yeah, you're right.
It's an amazing thing how but I am, like you, careful. And I think that's part of what clients should expect from their reader, from the person that they consult, is that kind. It's not just confidentiality about the, you know, the body or the consultation itself, but it extends, I think, in an umbrella, like an umbrella beyond that.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay, folks, it's the Mel and Ellen Show on BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS. This is Melanie Thomas and Ellen Doreen, Insights and Illuminations. I love it. You're on the East Coast. I'm on the West Coast. We are East to West and Coast to Coast.
Yeah.
Please give us a call. We are professional intuitives, been doing this for a combined total of probably 70 years. I don't think we can say easy. We're ancient. Folks, we're ancient. A lot of wisdom and a lot of experience. So if you have any question, a personal question that you would like to ask on the air, we're live. We both make a living doing this, so this is an opportunity to get our services on the air free of charge. I like that word free, although it's kind of weird to say it. But you can reach us by calling toll free at 888-627-6008. So moving along into what do you think is the biggest challenge, the biggest ethical challenge? You know, we're kind of really raking the ground here. I feel like being in kind of a Zen garden and making sure that we're going over it so that there's no big lumps and we're not leaving anything out. What do you consider the biggest challenge, ethical challenge, when you're in this work?
I don't really think for me there is a challenge, because I just accept it as part of what I do. It's also a part of my character.
I love your answer.
Huh?
I love your answer.
Yeah, thanks. But it isn't a challenge. What becomes a challenge for me is that when I hear people's horrific stories about what other people have said, I want to give an example of that, so I don't think I'm sitting here, you know, saying I don't like what the reader said. That has nothing to, their message is their message. But when you go to a reader and you go through the whole reading, at the very end, the person looks at you and says, there's dark clouds all around you. There's boiling turmoil all around you. And for $250, I'll light candles and pray for you. And I, you know, to me, that's just like, gee, if I can go to the dollar store, that $250 will set my house on fire, sweetheart. If that hadn't come up in the reading, if there was no dark clouds around you in the reading, why is there dark clouds around you now that you stood up and said goodbye? So I'm saying there's an incongruency to that, and there's just, it's a way of having you come back. You know, when you come back, I'll clear all your chakras for you. This and that, but that'll cost you $450, and I'll give you some crystals to take home with you. I'm sorry. That's when I get to the point. And for me, that's an ethical problem, to turn around and not say, my God, I hope you didn't pay it, because that's just not necessary. I mean, right. I think I want to say it this way. A good reader will tell you how to fix these things yourself.
I agree.
And not have to do it for you.
It's exploitation, you know. And thank you. Hello, caller. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Your name is?
Hi.
Hello.
This is Alicia. Hi.
Hi, Alicia. And your question is, or what would you like to ask, or what would you like to talk about?
Well, I would love to ask you about, I've just changed jobs, and I have a new job working in a chiropractic office here in California. And I was just wanting to a little guidance on if I'm going to be able to give up the other two jobs I juggle. I have like three part-time jobs now trying to make ends meet. And I'm very encouraged, and I know that I'm manifesting things. And
don't say too much. Okay.
Yeah, we like kind of taking it without too much information, and
okay.
So your question is about your new job.
Yes.
And I like it, and you're hoping that that will be successful, so that you can unburden yourself from the workload you're carrying. A real common theme right now in this economy and culture is people working really hard to make ends meet with lots of spreading out. Ellen, you have any you want to take this? You want me to take this? How would you like to work it?
Well, I'll jump in first, and then you can go. It feels to me as though you got this job through the recommendation of a friend or a family member, and that the process of getting this work was simplified. It wasn't so much of a struggle, such as interviews going quickly and things moving forward quickly. Is that correct?
Very correct.
Okay, good. All right. My intuition then, or my feeling about it is, I think you're in the right place at the right time for the first time in a very long time. Let your body go with that, accept it, and as you said, you know, as you started to say, you're manifesting, you're thinking ahead. I really think it might take you 2 or 3 months to get mm-hmm. solidly comfortable enough, and I think that what you'll end up doing is letting go. Of the two jobs that you do, the second one is the most unpleasant. You'll let that one go first. And then I think you might do another 3 or 4 months keeping the first job, you know, keeping the two of them so that you get back on your feet. And then you'll let the other one go. And I would certainly think by November, December, you'll beta one job that you really like. And I think there's probably a movement forward there, a promotion, whatever you want to call that, movement forward. I think you're in a pretty good spot.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, you're real suited for you're really suited for the job in the chiropractic office. I think you have great, great people skills. And I think also you have some very natural skills. So, hey, are you okay over there?
Yeah. I couldn't hear what you said. It sounded like someone fell down.
my office. Sorry.
I think she's okay.
I'm fine.
Okay.
But you have some natural healing. You have some natural healing abilities yourself. So it's a great place for you. It feels, Ellen's so perfectly right. She handled that one, I'm sure, way beyond what I would have. But the energy that I got right away was that you have a future there at the chiropractic office. And I totally agree with what she said about giving things up so slowly and moving forward.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you for your call. Oh, and did you have another question? I heard there.
Well, yeah, when you mentioned healing, one of the positions I'm thinking of giving up is I'm a massage therapist, and I haven't, people are giving up their massages for one reason and another, and it hasn't ever paid the bills. But I'm just wondering if it's something I should continue with or go in a new direction with.
I'd go back to what Ellen said about giving up the one you dislike the most. I didn't actually hear that the massage work was what you disliked. It's just that it hasn't paid the bills. My sense is that that's not a closed door at this point, that you're good at it. And it may even be that it becomes, excuse me, an adjunct in the chiropractic office. So, or something that can ride alongside of it. You don't want to put yourself in conflict, but it may be something that works out together. So I'm not too sure that, again, that the door is shut on the massage work. I think I just kind of ride it and see where it goes. Okay. Ellen, you have a hit on that one?
I think that's a correct. That feels very, very, very good. And not so much as an adjunct, which it probably will be, but there's so much healing in your hands that just hang in with that and let the doors open there. And I think as you get more and more rested and can let go of the first job, these things will, you know, more doors will be open for you. So I think Mel's correct. Hang on to that. I think it's part of what you do best.
Okay. What's your third job?
I clean an office building.
Get rid of that.
Yeah. Man, she jumped on that one right away, didn't she, Lisa?
Yeah.
Wait till you can. Wait till you can.
Okay. But I will.
The more you blend yourself into the healing modalities. I'd rather see you clean people's teeth. I mean, honest to God. just because it's more healing. Go where the healing, but don't, like I said, give yourself a couple of months, get your feet down before you let go of anything. But I would move more into the healing modalities than to the other side.
Okay. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So I think it would be probably good to kind of use that last caller as an example of maybe the ethics, maybe not, because I think actually it's not. There's a crossover there, but Ellen and I both kind of work not in the dark, but the less information you give us, the better we feel about it. And that was a good example. We don't want to know a lot because we want the spirit to speak through there. Even with my regular clients, especially ones that I haven't seen for a while, I don't want them to say. In fact, I just booked an appointment with a regular client yesterday and we were chatting and I said to her, don't say another word. And she said, I'm not going to. Because even in the chatting, they can reveal what's going on and I don't want to know.
That's right. I have a client when I talk to this person, we always agree we'll talk after the reading. And then we set up the appointment and do the reading, and then we can be friends. But up to that point, if I'm told anything, then and my point always is if the person says too much, then when you say da da da, they go, oh well, you knew that, I told you that. And if they can't put the belief in that, then how are they going to believe whatever else you're saying?
Oh, that's a good point.
So the more.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say the more they can just sit quietly and let us tell them what we know, and have that confirmation over and over and over again. You know, right. that's why I don't want to know anything.
Oh, the best reading, bar none, is the first one.
Yes.
With somebody you don't know.
Yes.
And some of them are spectacular and some of them are less than spectacular, but they're all the best readings, you know, because it's a wide open slate. You know, we're human beings, whether we like it or not. There's a prejudice that builds in with information.
Yes.
And that's a kind of a, maybe not exactly the precise word to use, but I don't know what other one to use. I mean, I know, the more I know about someone, that becomes, again, part of the work, is setting aside what you know, clearing the decks when you start a reading, just clearing the decks. Or as is the case with some client that I'm seeing on a regular basis through a difficult situation, instead of doing just let's see what the energetic overview is for today or right now, I just look at them and go, we already know that part. Let's go to the particulars. And then we go to what's the question? What's your question? What is it you want to know? Like Elisa did a great job of laying out what it was she wanted to know.
Yeah. You know, that brings up too, that when the client wants the information, they don't really mean to say so much, but you know, they're again, you bring the fear factor into it and they keep talking to try to fill that hole. And then you have the added, and I found this to be true a lot. You have the added problem that a lot of folks think that we're mind reading. I get asked that a lot. Can you read minds? God heavens, no. I don't even want to know what you know, I don't. But so when they're afraid and don't understand what we're doing because we can't explain it and they think that we're mind reading, then we get all these words to try to cover the anxiety. And then real quick, I just want to say, you know, one of the reasons that psychics and intuitives do not read for themselves is because we have too much information and we can't, you know.
I love that.
We get the message, and Mel, you've known how many times I would have said to you, yeah, I got that message. I just didn't think it was pertinent to me, you know?
Right. Oh, yeah.
And so we often don't make our wise, well choices because we have too much of our own influence. That's why it's so important not to be influenced by what the person says. So the least we know, the better off it is.
That's why I call you. when
and I call you.
Yeah, that's when, you know, that's yeah, it. When I got that situation going on and I need some other insight, I have to go outside of myself. And, you know, there are clients, I like what you said early on today, that, you know, everybody's intuitive and we have, I know you do, I know I do. We have a clientele that's very intuitive. So they bring their own intuitive abilities to the table in that sense. And so a lot of times what they're coming for is exactly what we do when we read for each other, is looking for that outside perspective, that outside affirmation, that outside guidance, that validation, or, because I think it can be both, what are the cautions here? You know, I'm too close to see what the cautions are. And so I find that that's really often true. In fact, I can find myself saying in a reading, I look at them and say, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know.
Right. You get that a lot. You can see that a lot on their faces, you know.
Yeah.
That's true. But, you know, just as you were saying that too, it's so important that I lost my train of thought. I beg your pardon.
Talking off that chair.
Yeah, no, it wasn't me, although, yeah, I won't hang things over. I won't hang things over my desk anymore. I am sorry. I lost my train of thought when I was.
It'll come back. It always does.
Yeah. It was something about, you know, the clients misunderstanding what we're saying or, you know, dealing with the. Oh, I do know. Thank you, Mel, for hanging in with me. What I was really trying to say very clearly is that people hear the gift that we are given is our free will. And so when you were talking about ethics too, this goes to it as well. If you have a reader and they tell you exactly what you should do in your life, for example, get a divorce or leave a job, or, and of course, common sense has to play in here. If you're in an abusive relationship, you don't need to be talking to a psychic. You need to talk to a police officer. You know, there's some common sense in here. But if you have stuff going on in your life, a really true, good working, spiritual, intuitive will give you doors of opportunity. There is always more than one way to skin a cat, as they say. And it is their gift to give you the doors of opportunity with the possible outcomes. It is the person's responsibility, the client's responsibility, to make the choice that best suits where they're going and what they're doing. And that's the give and take of that relationship.
I think that's really true. I'm very fortunate, and I know you are too, is that I don't have, and I think that's a function of the spirit drawing the spirit. I don't have clients who want me to tell them how to live their lives. Basically, you know, and that, or put another way, how to absolve them of the responsibility of living their own lives, you know, so yeah. That, like you said, they don't have to exercise their free will and take the risks that may incur. And if something doesn't work out, they can always blame the psychic. It's her fault, you know, that it didn't happen or that it did happen.
Yeah.
But I'm I feel very, very fortunate that I don't, that is not my clientele. It's not that I have not had them as clients. And I don't, my experience with that particular client is that they don't really listen to you anyway.
Mm. That's true enough.
I mean, I wonder what, you know, I've said, well, you know, why are you here? Because you don't really listen. And, you know, but I really want your advice. So, you know, that's what I'll do. One of the other things that you said earlier that came back for me was when a reading isn't working. And yes. And I think the reader knows it, the reader feels it. So does the client that is seeking the reading. And I'll just stop it and say, you know, I can feel this is not working. I believe you can feel this is not working. There are many, many reasons why that may not be true, because one of the things I've found is that there are some people who believe that when they can't be read, they might be going to die, or they have some horrible disease, or that the thing that you talked about, the fear thing, sets in. And so, you know, I tell them that's so far from reality. The yes. realities are that I don't fully understand why we cannot read some people. And I do believe that it may be because I'm not the one who's supposed to give you the information. Maybe you're not ready for the information. It yes. doesn't mean that it's not available, but it's not working here. And then I don't charge them, because how can you charge for something that you don't do?
Exactly. That is 100% true. And I think the other thing that you touched on there too is that so many people come in with the belief that you're going to tell them something really bad, because for so long, so many of the folks, you know, sitting down at the beach telling the fortune, so to speak, the way they get the attention is, oh, you're going to have a car accident or whatever, you know, all these things. And truthfully, as long as I've been reading, I very rarely ever get information that is frightening.
Right.
And of course, it's all a matter of delivery, too. I mean, you know, and I've had people say, I have a loved one who's very ill, and I would like to know if they're going to cross, not because I want them to cross or I want them here or whatever, is because I need the time to prepare. I need to know what to do. And my stock answer most of the time is, it's not for us to know when a soul will choose to leave this world. However, there are things that we can put in place that might give you a timeline. But, you know, you've seen people in ICU who are on death's door, and all of a sudden they rally because their soul has decided there's something more to do. So this is, I think if we could unplug that fear for people and say, don't come sit at my table and expect me to tell you you're going to be hit by a car, because that's probably not going to happen.
Right. So, right. Yeah. Although, you know, I don't like it when, I love readings when the news is good. It's hard. I find it challenging to, deliver the negative message, although there's always the flip side of the coin, you know.
Well, I agree. There are things that have to be said, and that's why I said, you know, sometimes I just sit with my mouth open and go, oh, my God, I can't believe I just said that.
Those are the cautions.
Yeah, I'm not saying that everything's all light and roses and la la, but it's not as frightening as, you know, it's been depicted in the cartoons or been depicted in, you know, the jokes about what we do, that it's, you know, you're going to hear all this bad news. And I think there's so much fear about that sometimes that people come in expecting it. And that makes them hard to read, because then they're closed down.
Right. Or the fear is such a strong emotion. It's like, you know, jamming. It's a jamming
yes.
frequency in that way.
Yes, yes, yes. In fact, usually what I do in a reading real quick is when I, even people I've read for a long time, I have them come in, get quiet, we take a couple of deep breaths, and then I just read for them. And I tell them everything I see, feel, hear, and understand about what's going on in their lives at this particular moment. And I usually do that for about 5 or 10 minutes, because I don't want to use up all their time, you know, because I know that that's very precious too. But at the end of that time, I'll turn to them and I'll say, so, is this making sense to you? Do you understand what I'm telling you? And, you know, usually I can already tell that that's what's going on, but they'll nod. And I'll go, okay, well, then let's go on and start looking at your individual questions or whatever. But if at that point I look at them and they go, I have no idea what you're talking about, I go, okay, I'm not connecting with you. I will not charge you for this. Why don't you find a different reader? Yeah. Because, you know, by the time 10 or 15 minutes has gone by, if they have not relaxed enough, or if there's other stuff going on, and as you said, there are some people that you just, for whatever reason, can't get your hands around, then you end it. There's no sense for the two of you to sit and struggle with each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, nothing is flowing, nothing is going. And that's like, I mean, it's not working for me, that's for sure. And so it can't possibly be working for the client that, exactly, you know, that I'm trying to read for. I had an experience a while back. I have to say, like you, it's pretty rare that that happens. I have been in a situation where I've gotten the feedback there was a gentleman that I read for several, many, many years ago, and he was sort of, got to me because of all the people that he worked with said, oh, yeah, go check it out. So he did, and he came, and it was what it was. And so I heard through the grapevine that he said, oh, she couldn't read me at all. And I knew totally and completely that I hit the nail on the head repeatedly. He just wasn't ready for it. He came because everybody said, you ought to do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And he wasn't ready for it. And so, you know, that's another place that we just don't want to attach ourselves to.
Right, right, right. It's amazing. It's amazing, but interesting. And that would be another thing I'd just really quickly say. Don't, if you're friends with somebody and you're all going to go out and have readings done because it's somebody's birthday and whatever, if someone does not want to participate, don't make them. You know, be a friend and say, oh, that's okay. It's there. Some people just don't want to do that, and that's okay too. You know,
absolutely.
So that needs to be respected. So.
Absolutely. That's part of it. You know, sometimes I'll even ask if I have, I'll ask them, you know, so why are you here? Well, I mean, it'll be my intuition guiding me to ask that.
Sure.
Question, you know,
sure.
And so you get well. It doesn't. Again, it's not something that happens very often, but it sets the stage, and then you can say, "Well, are you sure? Have you ever done this before? Are you comfortable?" And then pretty soon, either they get comfortable or they say, "Well, no, I'm not exactly, but you know, I didn't want to disappoint somebody."
Right. Right. But my friend said I should come.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to be here? Well, no, not particularly. Oh, you know, okay. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Hey, everybody. This is the Mel and Ellen Show. We've been with you this Tuesday afternoon. Look for us every other Tuesday on PBS Radio. This is Ellen Doreen from Cocoa Beach, Florida, and Melanie Thomas from the San Francisco Bay Area. So glad to have you with us today. It's exciting. Please look for the topic of our next show and be prepared to call in with your questions. I want to say thank you to Elisa for joining us. Ellen, would you like to finish signing off? Say a couple words.
Well, I'm just very happy to be here. I love doing radio. I love talking to folks, so please call in. And I'm just going to restate what you said. Our next show then would be August 14th. Is that correct?
I believe so.
Okay, so I'm jazzed for that, and we'll get together again on August 14th.
Thank you.